You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
At the end of last year, Australia introduced a ban on social media use for those under the age of 16. While the policy was discussed across the globe in multiple countries, Australia was one of the first to actually introduce it. New Zealand is also one of the countries looking at introducing its own social media ban, despite a growing amount of evidence that the bans are ineffective. Young people are not only often resourceful enough to dodge the ban, but often the most significant causes of mental harm and distress run much deeper than just social media content. With New Zealand announcing a pause to the development of our own social media ban policy on Thursday last week, I spoke on Friday, the day after, to Director of Wellbeing, System Leadership, Data and Insights at Te Herenga Mahara, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, Dr. Ella Cullen. And a lot of the stuff we're going to be discussing today is around the social media ban. And we've seen talks about social media bans developing internationally. We've seen some of those talks developing here as well. How are our talks about a social media ban in New Zealand influenced by those movements in other countries?
Yeah, look, that's a really good point. I mean, and observation. So as you said, there is a lot of movement internationally on this, and with Australia being the first country internationally to actually implement a ban, we think that, yeah, there's definitely been an influencing factor. And what's underneath all of that is a kind of global rise in psychological distress among young people. So this is, I guess, one solution that decision makers are seeing as the way forward.
And what are the motives around the big push for a social media ban or social media restrictions in New Zealand in particular?
It really depends who you ask, and I will just say the one voice that is missing here are the voices of young people. So I guess the big push is there's some numbers out there. So as I said before, there is this very large increase in high to very high levels of psychological distress among young people. So that's something that's very, very sort of topical. The other thing is young people in New Zealand have some of the highest engagement on social media in the world. So, and it's not a bad thing. It's just what it is. Young people are spending a lot more time online. So that's another concern, I guess. And again, it depends who you ask. There is a view, a very dominant voice and view at the moment that social media is causing psychological distress among young people. And our position on that is that it's actually not a cause. So there's a lot of debate around basically whether removing social media from young people's lives will reverse the, you know, distress rates among young people and will deal with some of the issues that you can see in the media around the link between mental health or mental illness and the use of social media. So yeah, there's a lot in there. It's quite complex. We think that social media is not the sole cause of youth mental distress. It acts more like an amplifier of existing offline issues, and it has both benefits and harms.
You mentioned that, I guess, link between social media and the harms that young people are facing, and that link is really difficult to establish, right, whether it exists or doesn't exist, because it's really difficult to gather evidence. Obviously, it's early days of the policy in Australia, but are there any teachings, are there any insights we're getting out of the policy as it's been enacted there thus far?
As you said, it's very, very early days. It's actually quite hard to say whether there has been any impact on youth mental health as a result of the ban. Sort of preliminary data does say that it's actually not working very well, and we know that because we've looked at the research and it's there. It says that these kinds of bans are actually quite easy to circumvent. It actually pushes people to less regulated spaces and can reduce access to support and connection, which is what young people need. So it is quite early to say whether the Australian ban has worked. Young people are still using social media in Australia, so 16-year-olds are still able to access social media. And there's basically a number of studies that are looking at the success of the bill in Australia, but it is actually quite hard to say right now. It's been 6 months, I think, since the ban in Australia. So we do need to just wait and see what happens. And that's kind of, that's our position on that. And it was quite good to see that RNZ article this morning after the Parliament debate on Wednesday that it is on hold. So that is a good thing to see because we should be waiting, we should be learning from Australia and we shouldn't be rushing.
You mentioned that social media can act as an amplifier for these other issues that young people are facing in either creating more mental harm or maybe doing the opposite as well. What are those other issues, and maybe are there any other government pathways that they could be looking into to address these issues rather than just looking at social media?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. So I guess the other issues, and if we look at the broader drivers of success, so that is things like rising inequality, social isolation or lack of cohesion, discrimination, uncertain futures, climate change. These are the things that young people have told us is driving distress. So not social media itself. So we've heard time and time again from the young people we talk to that what they actually want is safety online. So it's about kind of age-appropriate algorithms and regulating harmful content online. It's the things that go on to make young people who might already be feeling distressed to go on social media and then amplifies the distress. It's that kind of regulation. It's the content that's available already that needs regulation. So the issues are much broader, and we just simply don't think that you can ban away a youth mental health crisis.
And you mentioned again earlier the debate yesterday and the result that the social media ban policy has been, I guess, put on hold for the moment. What's your take on that decision, if you could expand a little bit on what you said earlier, and how do you reckon the government should look at the ban moving forward?
We think there's a multi-prong approach here that's needed. So it's not just about choosing between doing nothing or implementing a blanket ban. We want to see basically any solution on online harm to include genuine involvement with young people as digital experts. A lot of these decisions are being made by generations that aren't actually online as much as young people are. Young people will tell you what's unsafe and safe if you ask them when they're in these spaces. We also think we want, access to adequate education, digital literacy and critical thinking for young people to support them when they're navigating online spaces, including resources for parents and whānau and guardians to actually normalise some of those online safety attitudes. So I know that there is work included in the new education curriculum that's looking at digital literacy, so that's quite a good action that's been taken by this current government. And then the final thing we'd want to see wrapped around this is stronger regulation for social media companies. So it is about holding them to account for the content. So they do need to carry, tech companies need to carry more responsibility, and safety should be built into the platforms from the start with stronger moderation, better reporting systems and age protections and less addictive design. So those are sort of the other potential policy options there.
That was Director of Wellbeing, System Leadership, Data and Insights at Te Herenga Mahara, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, Dr. Ella Cullen, speaking to me about a potential social media ban in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.